will take your place, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How great it is to come and worship him. Hallelujah. Wow, what a saviour. We love you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We can come here together, bow our heads before your throne of grace, and have a wonderful peace in our heart as we worship you. Father, as we hear your word today, I pray that what I speak would be from your Holy Spirit to bless and encourage us and help us on life's journey. So be with us, Lord, in every way, and may we hear your still small voice guiding us, leading us, and directing us in Christ's name. Amen? Amen. Well, last week I overspoke a bit, perhaps, in time, about the ministries of Jesus, the spiritual gifts. And today I want to come on to a bit more of the fivefold ministry. But before I do, I'd just like to say we spoke about wisdom, we spoke about knowledge, we spoke about faith, healing, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, different types of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I said, if you have tongues, please use the gifts that God has given us. You'd be so thrilled, wouldn't you, if some of your best friend came along with a really big box, which was a gift for you. You'd be thinking, what is in this box? What are they doing with this? Well, God has got the greatest gift you could ever, ever have in life. So be really excited about as you see these gifts, because God wants to bless us, which blesses others because of the ministry that he has for us. I just thought I would say this: tongues, just completely and utterly use the gift of tongues. I really mean that. And as I was doing a reading this last week, do you ever have the word for today? Do you use it? I do every day. I really find it's really good. I think you know the person who wrote this. He died not long ago, but he's written enough forward teachings, if I could put it that way, to keep this going for a long while to come. How great is that, that God allowed him to be able to do that. And as I was reading, I thought, well, this was for Saturday, the 5th of June. And when something speaks to me like this, I underline it. And I knew if I went back, it would be underlined. And what was it for? Well, it was for wisdom. So I'll go on to the gifts of the Spirit in a minute, the fivefold ministries. But I'll say this. This is what it says. This is about wisdom. General Eisenhower was faced with the responsibility of making one of the most far-reaching decisions ever posed to a single man, changing the date of D-Day. At the last moment, if he got it wrong, thousands of Allied soldiers could die. Talk about pressure, but he was the supreme commander and the only man who could make this decision. Looking back on it, he wrote, I knew I did not have the required wisdom and turned to God. I asked him to give me wisdom. I yielded myself to him and he gave me clear guidance. He gave me insight to see what was right, and he endowed me with the courage to make my decision. And finally, he gave me peace of mind in the knowledge that having been guided by God to a decision, I could leave the results to him. Are you feeling anxious because you are being called upon today to make a decision, one that will not only affect you, but to others too? The word for today is pray. Trust God for guidance. Ask him for peace and trust in him to make the right result. And I know several are going through pretty tough times, but I want to say to you, pray, ask for wisdom, and allow God Almighty to make a decision that you are at peace in your heart. That's what he goes by very often, a peace in your heart about what he's saying. So, we'll carry on now, but we'll go on to fivefold ministries. And I want to read this from Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. But first of all, I'm going to read just a few verses, with the 7 and 8, and give us the grace to understand this. But to each of you, or each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And you think, you look at that and you think, well, explain that to me. Well, I went to 2 Colossians and it says this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them of the cross. Well, in the days when this was written, do you know, when people went to war, the generals, the kings, whoever it was, and they won an enormous battle, what happened was when they captured someone, they didn't kill them straight away very often, a king or the other generals or whatever. What they did, they took all the plunder that there was to take. This sounds pretty ruthless, but this is what happened. And they took the king or the general who was alive, and they paraded with him when they came back, so that everyone could see that they had won the war that they were fighting for. And this is what it's saying in here. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. He was showing in the spiritual realm he had overcome every power and authority in his name. They were a defeated foe. And Satan will always come and try to bring something on you. He'll try and ping some label on you or whatever. And we need to know how to use the word of God so that Satan flees from us. He has so many Christians sort of on the floor almost, just begging and pleading. Well, we're not beggars, are we? Amen. Jesus Christ has already done it. We come before the throne of God Almighty, and it said in Scripture, come boldly before the throne. Come boldly and speak to him. If there's something you dislike or what, not him, I'm not talking about, tell him, but in the right attitude and the right measure. Tell him, I'm not satisfied with this, Lord. Things are not going right in this way. Be real with him, because he wants to be real with you. When we suffer, and we all suffer at times, you can cry out of your heart, you can cry tears, he measures them. He knows all about it, and he's there to help us through those times. But I just wanted to bring that, because that's part of what we're talking about in 7 and 8, because when we come on to 9, it says this. What does he ascended mean, and that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles. Now, apostles is someone who is sent. If it was Church of England, he would be a bishop. Some other places, it's a particular person. There was an overseer or a sent one. But I looked at this and I've studied this a little bit. So if that person, bishop or whoever he may be in authority, comes, it says this in 2 Corinthians 12:12. When apostle comes upon you or to you, you will see signs of wonders and miracles. Amen. And I've looked for that when I've seen apostles, he says. And not once have I seen signs and wonders. That sounds perhaps a terrible thing to say, but I haven't. But I'm telling you Scripture. When these people come in authority, and do we need them? Yes, 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 we do. But we also need to look at the things in the Bible and say, well, if you are an apostle, you come and let us see signs and miracles as well as an overseer. We do need overseers in church. River of Life needs an overseer. And we need to know that we are under authority. And that's great news. That's what an apostle is. And if you think of Paul, Saul, I thought this morning, I thought, what a wonderful thing. He wrote most of the New Testament, so to speak. And look how God captured him in knocking him off his horse, making him blind, telling people to go and pray for him and he would see, coming to a place where God could see that the authority that that man used, being Saul then, would be changed completely to the name Paul, because he would be a rock. It doesn't mean the rock on what he would build the church. It meant he would be a rock to the church. And I want us to understand, when you are red hot for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God wants us to be. Because I do believe the more we come to Christ, the more we give of our lives to Christ, the more he reigns and rules in our lives, the more signs and miracles we will have. I really do believe that. And we should come, and I've shared this many times, that we should come on a Sunday with expectation, knowing that when we pray for people, they will be healed or go to be with the Lord, because, as Paul said, you're a winner either way. You can't lose, can you? Because it's really tough, and I mean that, it's really, really tough. But God, in his mercy, will help us in our tears, in our bereavement, and all that we share. It's tough. Some to be prophets. We shared a little bit about prophets last week. But the prophetic, because you prophesy something, does not make you a prophet. You may have something God has given you knowledge with. It could be 1 week and you might have nothing else for a month. But God has given us things to encourage us. I guarantee today, if someone had said, and it was great, wasn't it good to have the people up here today to share with what God is doing? I'll guarantee that he's given you some scriptures today. I'll guarantee, I'm not going to, but if I said, come up and share a scripture that God's laid on your heart today, you'd be able to come up and share a scripture. Because God speaks through the word. Christ gave his life for us, and this word is our bread and the wine, if you like. We feed and we drink on Jesus Christ. As the lady at the well said, give me this water so I will never thirst again. And he said, that's me. That's me. If you have me, that's the way I am. And it's incredible how God does these things. And as I look today in the reading that I was doing from the Bible, it was way back in Scripture, and it said, Jesus was with his disciples, and he knew who would betray him. All that way back. Staggering that when, if you like, he called his disciples, they were all working together, and he knew there he would be crucified, and he knew the rebel, the wicked one, who would be there to destroy him. He knew it, but he treated him just like the other disciples. He didn't say anything against him. He treated them all the same. But when that man, Judas Iscariot, betrayed his Savior, Jesus knew about it way beforehand. He was the one. And when Nathanael, I love that when Nathanael, his brothers went and said, we've seen the Christ, we've seen the Messiah. And when he came and he said, Nathanael, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. And he said, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. Just that prophetic word of Christ made that man understand the amazing, amazing prophecy that we see in the Bible. Jesus Christ, he's all these things. Some to be evangelists. We're all evangelists. We're all those who want people to come to know Christ, aren't we? Don't we long to witness, just like going into the shop and asking this guy in the shop, could he pray? That's all those areas. Do you know, people will be looking at us, the life we live, the way we live, the way we are with people. They will read that to see if you say, I'm a Christian. They'll probably say, are you really? Yeah, have you ever had that? I have. I remember a couple of friends when I said to them, we'd become Christians. They said, you a Christian? She said this. She said, my husband has got more Christianity in his little finger than what you are. I remember it. She's a lovely person. I love her dearly. But that was the way she reacted. Because I suppose before I became a Christian, she was telling the truth. But you see, he does bring love and comfort and help to us. Prophets. I shared last week about the one who was prophesied by the lady, Jack Deere, who just slid down the wall of this place when he prayed. And he said, she told me everything about me. I can remember being, I'm still talking about the prophetic here, at Bury St. Edmunds. And we went there with a meeting, and there were several of us went to this meeting at Bury. And there was this man called Craig Kinsley, wasn't it? Craig Kinsley. And we were all sitting there, it was probably about 300 of us, and sitting there, and I was writing. And he just said, all of a sudden, he just said, Terry, would you come forward, please? And I didn't kind of trigger it. I just did. And he said, I think he's talking to you. So he said, is there more than one Terry here? And I said, no. He said, I was going to call you forward a little before, he said, but God hadn't given me your name. So when he gave me your name, I knew that I was hearing properly. So I went forward not knowing what would happen. And I can tell you, when he prophesied over me, he told me my life story. When I was a boy, when I was growing up, what I would do, where I was. And he told me about and the future. He told me about the future. Staggering, staggering. I mean, if he had have said this a few years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. He said this. He said, and you will help fill stadiums. And I can tell you, as chairman of Firedome Trust, you know, we hired the Emirates building, we've hired other football grounds and all these stadiums, and he prophesied. What are the chances of that coming true if it wasn't from God? You need to test and weigh prophecy. We were in a church one day a few years ago, I must admit, not this one. This lady came forward and she said, today the gates of Islam have fallen. It's finished. And all of us thought, what are you talking about? And honestly, that's what she said. But we knew that it was false. We knew that that was not the truth. You need to weigh these things. You need to... And this is why I say on a Sunday morning from now on, if someone wants to speak, unless we know them, they must come to a leader to be able to tell them what you're going to say, because otherwise it can be really out of kilter. It really can. Because we want people to come up here and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing and all these things. Because some people come up and it's about them. And that's not what we want. We want Jesus has healed me. Jesus has done this. Jesus has done that. We want Jesus. And the prophetic can be extremely good. One thing I will say, and I know Neat shared this before, but when we were in the States and we were doing a fairly big conference, we had about 350 ministers at this particular section of this conference. And we were talking about hearing the voice of God. And we were talking about prophecy and all these things. And I'd say there were 350 ministers and pastors there. And when we said for prayer afterwards, who would like to come up because you've been hurt as a pastor through people prophesying over you or saying things to you, I think about 200 to 250 came forward crying, saying they had been gutted by people coming to them and saying wrong things about them, wanting to get it off their chest to do these things. And Neat and I, we could see the pain and the hurt. And that is why probably over 80% of every person who becomes a pastor, they give up. Those statistics are from the States, but they give up. Why? Because the word says you are supposed to make it a joy for your leaders. You're supposed to make it a pleasure for them. But very often, it's really hard. I can tell you. Coming back and standing in the gap for a little while. It's not easy. I don't mean it's easy. It really is hard work. It's amazing how you get, you know, chucked at you some things. But prophetic really is for encouragement. The prophetic should always be used mostly for encouragement. And I say this in a right way because sometimes God does use people to speak into your life, but do you know what? If you're a son and daughter of the living God, he is quite able to speak into the life of his sons and daughters. He doesn't need you to give them a real big pasting. If he wants to say anything or discipline you, let him do it, not you do it to someone else. Because to pull people down to do that is not acceptable. Some to be evangelists, and we've spoken about, we're just speaking about evangelists, but we are all called to witness. We are all called. And very often I have known in events where there is an evangelist and they speak and there'll be probably 150 give their lives to Christ. But if you've not had that kind of anointing on you, it doesn't work like that. But when you are, it's great. Some to be pastors and teachers. And you know sometimes a pastor is someone who is in charge of the flock, someone who wants to encourage people on their way, love people, help people, there to guide people. There is the teachers and people like, and I say this in the right way if I mention people, but Rick Renner, Andrew Womack, those type of people, Dr. David Jeremiah, there's loads of people I could name to you, but they are a gifted teacher. And they'll look up the Greek, they'll look up the Hebrew, they will look at all this, and they will help you, teaching you the way you should go. That is in Christ. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I've got some way to go, have you? To the fullness of Christ. And yet the Holy Spirit who lives in us is the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. So if we look at these fivefold ministries, they are for the church, the people, you and me, to be able to have those gifts so that we can build one another up in the body of Christ. So we're all working together in the different ways to build each other up, encourage one another, help one another, because we will see this ministry working through the body here with all those other gifts that we have together. So if you were starting life groups again soon, and we need to know in life groups, this is the best way of seeing what gifts people have. It's really much better when you have, say, 6 or 8 people and you can chat together, you can express perhaps to someone, do you know, you're really good at this particular section or you're really good at that. Could you lead that section next week in life group so that we can see that gift that God has given you? Maybe it's a gift of a teacher, or it could be you're good at evangelism. Works of service build each other up. What he's trying to say here, and which we must never get, this is not for information. This is for transformation. This is not for information. This is for transformation in our spirit being, to build each other up, that we may be able to use those gifts and see them working, and see the body of Christ working as ligaments together, as it says. So the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you, or the leg say to the eye, I don't need you. We all need each other. So let's read these particular scriptures I went over last week, and I'm not going to do it this week. So let us use these scriptures, the Ephesians 4, the other one, the ministry of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. Let's read through those. Let's have those in our heart and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and direct us, because we're never going to use them properly, ever, until we know the Holy Spirit has inspired us. It's calling on the Holy Spirit from start to finish to help us, lead us, guide us, direct us in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. It will make us so that we really want to share the gospel, to love one another more dearly, to help one another through all these things, and to work in the prophetic If that's what God has given you a gift of, we want to encourage you to use that gift. We want you to be able to use every gift that God has given you. Can I ask you to do something? When you next get home and read your Bible, please make a note. I think the Holy Spirit is telling me I've got a gift of... Write it down. Because I would really like to know what God has gifted you in, or you feel he's gifted you in, so that all of us can be together making progress in becoming more and more to the fullness of what Christ has got for you and for me. Please use wisdom. Please use all those gifts. But most of all, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, and direct us in that fivefold ministry that will bring the body of Christ on further forward, and we would all have the best for each other. God bless you. Julie, would you like to come up, please? Thank you. Just to say, I do mean this, just while they're coming up, look, if anybody needs healing, just put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you now. Thank you. Right. And you bow your heads. If you didn't raise your hand, you bow your heads and let's share in this together. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given each one of us. We praise you for them and we want to use them for your glory. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray healing and wholeness, that wonderful shalom in spirit, soul, and in body, over every person who raised their hand today. May, Lord God, we speak that truth over their bodies and may they know the healing touch of you at this very moment. Father, we pray it will be a testimony about you and you alone, because without you, we're nothing and can do nothing. But with you, Lord God, there is what we would call the impossible made possible. In Christ's name, God bless you. Amen.